God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Do you know the phrase peak trans? This is a very important thing to understand as we head into a new Trump administration. President Trump is going to have to deal with the pharmaceutical industry, which has contributed to all these peak trans moments. There are also peak COVID moments that people have had. There's peak pharma moments where people finally get it. And President Trump has an opportunity to save bodies, minds, and souls by confronting what pharma has become, which is a criminal cartel. They're in the business model of getting fined and then paying off the fines, because they have created such an enormous repeat revenue source from people. They've gotten addicted to their products that it's difficult to see them being toppled. Now, I have to say this because I have family members who work in pharma, that there are people who work within those walls, within those companies, and they truly believe they're delivering value. And in some cases, they are. Antibiotics have been miraculous in saving lives. Prior to that, you had situations like George Washington, who died from a throat infection, probably strep throat. Incidentally, if you've never been to his home near Washington, D.C., it is one of the most astonishing things that's ever happened to me. We took a tour of that home, and we were standing outside of General Washington's bedroom. He preferred always to be called General, never did like the title of president. And I said, "How close is that bed in that room to the bed in which General Washington actually slept?" And the lady said, "Oh, that is his bed." I said, "What about the bedding?" She goes, "Yeah, it's his bedding. We preserve it. There are special lights in there. He touched that. He slept in it." Remarkable. I'll have to talk about that one day. Peak trance. Why did I mention that? Because I think Elon Musk got into politics because he had his peak trans moment. This is where you begin to understand the gargantuan lie of transgenderism, a lie backed by pharma and the Thomas Reuters Foundation, the world's largest law firm. All of them worked behind the scenes to get non-elected bureaucrats to begin to install this lie. This is one of the most well-planned assaults on the minds and bodies, and I say souls of children, in history, and it hit Elon Musk's family. The music in the background, not our fault. It's there from the Daily Wire. He's talking here to Jordan Peterson, a guy whose intellect I admire, but man, I could not relate to this non-emotional response to Elon.
I lost my son, essentially. So, you know, they call it dead naming for a reason.
Yeah.
The reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. So my son Xavier is dead. Killed by the woke mind virus.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah. So...
yeah, and there's lots of people in that situation now.
Right.
It's not pretty. And lots of demolished kids.
Yes.
See, Elon Musk is supposed to pretend that his son is now a girl. And he's gone on to say that he's pledged to destroy the woke mind virus. Elon Musk's son has occasionally made very awful statements about his father. Because his father will not pretend along that the boy is now a girl. So he had his peak trans moment. Other people have had their peak trans moments. And some people have had their kids taken. Some people have seen it happen to others. The other day, a friend of mine called me, and we've done business together. We worked in radio together. Occasionally, on my podcast, he placed advertisements. He listens to my podcast. I've covered this for almost a decade. And he said, man, I know you talk about this stuff, but I just heard from a family in Washington state who had a five-year-old seized, or they attempted to seize their five-year-old. They had to leave the state so that the five-year-old was not seized and tranced. And he said, five. I said, yeah, but Leif, why are you surprised? He said, Todd, I know you talk about this with 10 and 11-year-olds, but five? Leif, if they do it to a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old, why wouldn't they do it to a 5-year-old? Logic has no place in this. I mentioned this because so much of this, in my opinion, was driven by pharma. Well, no, let me rephrase that. Not in my opinion. This was driven by pharma. The plan to trans the world is so meticulously well done. It's been a process, a 30, 40-year process, including, according to media reports, the use of the Thomas Reuters Foundation, the world's largest law firm, and driven by this so-called human rights campaign out of San Francisco with billionaires on this on the boards, the Pritzker family, the dictator or so-called governor of Illinois, and his brother who pretends to be a woman. They shifted their investments out of hotels, which is where they had it, because most of their wealth was inherited, into pharma and medical devices as they were pushing all of this. President Trump has had God act through him in some miraculous ways. He has an opportunity to go at pharma, not just for what they've done to people through COVID, but what they have done to kids and families. He has presented a plan, and it's a pretty good plan. I'd give it a 90%. He says, investigate pharma. Why? What's the investigation we need? They knew that these were not organic matters. This was not a problem with someone's brain. This was not a genetic issue. This was not a medical intervention issue. This was a psychological issue. They pushed people to do this to kids for money. And they have corrupted medical science. And they've created people like me. I love human beings because God first loved me. I want to love human beings. I trust no doctor. When I first talked to a doctor, I dummy checked them on everything. I tried to do it kindly. But I'm dummy checking. And if I get an answer I don't like, I'm out. Particularly it has to do with my daughter. I'm out. She's a young adult now, so I do that less commonly. RFK Jr. is a guy who has spent his life confronting pharma. He's wrong on a ton of things. Abortion, climate catastrophe, gun control policy. He's wrong on a ton of things. But on pharma, he's a guy to whom we should listen well.
The thing that people have to understand is that the four companies and make all 72 of those vaccines, which is Pfizer.
Pfizer's killing
Merck.
Glaxo, Merck, and Sanofi. All of those companies are convicted felons. And not only that, they're serial felons. Their business model is committing felonies. These companies, in the last 10 years collectively, have paid $35 billion in penalties, damages, fines for falsifying science, for defrauding regulators, for lying to doctors, and for killing hundreds of thousands of people. Vioxx, which was Merck's flagship product, killed between 120,000 and 500,000 Americans. This was a pill that Merck was selling as a headache pill.
Right.
And Merck knew caused heart attacks and killed people, and they didn't tell anybody. And they knew a certain, you know, we got the spreadsheets that show their bean counters, their accountants, and this is, you're going to kill so many people per dose, we can still make more money, even if they all sue us. And in the end, they killed, you know, up to 500,000 Americans, and they got away with it. They paid $7 billion in fines. Nobody went to jail. And this is,
they probably made $100 million in profits.
Yeah. So this is a company. It requires kind of a cognitive dissonance to believe that these companies that are lying and cheating on every other pharmaceutical product, every other medical device that they create, are somehow found Jesus with vaccines and aren't lying to us. And the thing is with vaccines, vaccines is the only place they could never get caught because it's illegal in this country to sue a vaccine company. So Congress passed a law in 1986 that said no matter how negligent that company is, no matter how malicious they are, no matter how toxic the product, you, no matter how grievous your injury, man, you cannot sue them.
RFK Jr. is wrong on a lot of things. Abortion, climate, gun control policy. He is right on pharma. God is a God of law and order and restraint. Do you think that God can sponsor the wholesale push of psychotropics into society? The same drug companies that invented or helped invent transgenderism, because remember it used to be called transsexual? That meant someone who had been through the process of surgery and hormones to pretend to be the opposite sex, a transsexual. There was the pre-operative transsexual. That was someone who was, you know, dressing as the opposite sex and trying to pretend to be the opposite sex without the drugs and surgery. And then there was the transsexual. The purposeful softening of that phrase to transgender bears all the markings of a focus group approach. How can we have more people have this condition? How can we take what's called gender dysphoria, which is a mental illness defined as such in the DSM-5, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, how can we give more people the condition so we can turn it into a profit maker? How can we make it sexy and fun? And they did it. Do you think God can smile upon that? I don't. And so God knows their motives. He knows about every secret board meeting. He was there. Even if they didn't allow note-taking, God saw. Justice has been meted out in eternity to those who did not repent, meaning will not repent, because when God says a thing's going to happen, it's already happened. But you can take this same circumstance and you could apply it in many cases, and I'm not saying all cases. I am not here to accuse parents. I put my daughter on pharma. I stand guilty. I admit that. I am guilty. Praise God through the work of my wife, who has been heroic in this. It looks as though our daughter will be off all pharma on Christmas Eve. Praise God. But this is so true in cases like ADHD. Boys are not designed to sit for 8 hours a day in seats listening to people talk. That's what school has become. When compulsory school began, it was 3 months out of the year, and it was not sitting in a seat for 8 hours a day. There was activity. Schools have been designed to dumb kids down, to make it easier for the school unions to employ as many teachers as possible, because the business model of the school union is to have a bunch of teachers and take a rake off their salary. The pushing of ADHD diagnoses for boys is a pushing of drugs. The medicalization of depression and anxiety pushed into sometimes 80% of populations of teens are addicted to these drugs, which are harder to get off than fentanyl, has resulted in an industry that never needs to worry about profits because these kids are addicts. The fact that this was ever pushed beyond exercise and sunshine, which should have been the first step, shows you how bad these companies are and how much God must have cups of wrath stored up. President Trump has an opportunity to turn this around. I pray that as he prays, and I do pray he prays, that he'll seek God's wisdom in how to do this, on how to deflate the pharma profit machine, because the pharma profit machine has become an unspeakable evil. We'll come back with some emails to the show. Been a long time since we've catched up with listeners. Caught up. Did I say catched up? What's wrong with me? I got the Biden brain. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I like to call things what they are. I like to use precise language. I think that's super helpful, particularly in a world where we are being purposely confused. Gaslit, it's called, to be made crazy, lied to, with the goal of making us seem crazy. I'll give an example of what I mean with this when I talk about immigration here in a second, particularly mass immigration, uncontrolled, no idea who's coming into the country, particularly when you add to that open borders and illegal immigration. And when you know that this is a worldwide effort, it's clear, it's focused, it's easy to see that this is a top-down effort to redistribute people into Western democracies and pseudo-democracies. That's factual. It's unquestionable because of the patterns and who's driving it. So I'll tell you why I use these precise examples and relate them to some emails we've gotten to the show. It's been a while since we've checked in on the email front. We'll do that. One thing, because time is short, have you been yet to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to help with Operation Christmas Child? We're getting shoeboxes of gifts to children in 100 unreached people groups, really, really hard to reach, and following up with them for discipleship opportunities to learn about the Lord Jesus and to choose to follow him. You can do this online. You can go fill out, create a box online. They'll take care of all the details. You simply buy the gifts, put a cool item in there that a kid's going to love, a toy, something like that, and then some things of necessity. Or you can physically do it on your own. There's 4,700 drop-off locations all around the country. But here's the thing. It has to be finished up by November 25th. It has to make sure that we get these to these kids. So go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Operation Christmas Child, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Immigration. As followers of the Lord Jesus, we're to be kind to sojourners because we ourselves are sojourners. We are sojourners in this world. None of us, this is not our permanent home. In point of fact, it's not anyone's permanent home. Because I don't believe in eliminationism. The Bible, I don't think, supports eliminationism. I think it's very clear we are eternal beings. Death is not a get-out-of-accountability card. Death is choosing your accountability. It can be a reward, eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth, or it can be eternity apart from God, meaning no joy, no peace, no charity, no understanding, no tolerance, none of those things. Just pure, unmitigated sadness and rage and anger and jealousy, all the things you don't want, which for an eternity will multiply as souls bash against souls forever. It's important to call things what they are. We're sojourners here. We're traveling through. So to be kind to travelers. But what is an immigrant? Well, they're a person made in the image of God, loved by God. Okay. What do they bring with them? They bring with them beliefs, cultural norms, attitudes and behaviors, right? I mean, apart from medical conditions, which is real, it's not the fault of the people from Haiti that they've got some horrible diseases, because that country is spiritually captured and utterly fallen. So we can't blame them for having disease. We can say we choose not to have the disease come into our country. And to the degree that we're going to allow that immigration, we can choose to say, you're going to be quarantined until those diseases are handled. But we can't do that with beliefs and attitudes and cultural norms. People carry them. Luggage, you can have people drop. I mean, with your kids have been out playing in the mud, and it's Thanksgiving and they're playing tackle football in the backyard. I love that. Did you love that? Oh, I love that. And you can be walking in the sliding glass door and have your mom say, oh no, nope. You go connect the hose and you spray yourself up there. Mom, it's snow on the ground. Yeah, it is. Make sure you unhook the hose when you're done. I don't want our pipes freezing. But no, you're not coming in like that. No. But your mom's not going to say, take off your feet. Leave yourself behind. So when we import people, we're importing the behaviors of these people. If we don't know who they are, we don't know their behaviors. Now, you can't know every individual. I'm not saying that. I'm not looking for thought crimes. But I'm saying there are regions of the world where there are behaviors that come from attitudes and beliefs we do not want to bring into our country. It is stupid to bring it into our country, and they are ungodly ideas. This is a horribly, horribly difficult story to tell you about. It comes from the Daily Mail. If you are listening with young people, this is going to be some rough language. It's a horrible thing I'm going to talk about, and it will last about 30 seconds, and I'll give you a countdown of 3, 2, 1. A rapist was let off for sexually attacking a woman after the rapist agreed to allow his sister to be raped by the victim's brother. Got it? Two families were arrested in Punjab, Pakistan for agreeing on revenge rape. One man had committed rape last Tuesday, and the families met. They agreed to not take legal action if a revenge rape was committed. The following day, the victim's brother raped the perpetrator's sister in public. A teen girl was raped in public in a revenge rape. That is so utterly ungodly. And it speaks to a sick, horrible culture. Yeah, there's sickness in our culture. We're awash in pornography and gambling and all forms of immorality and food and drug addiction and financial addiction. So much. So let's not import that. Let's never import people with those behaviors. Why would we? But we are. We are. Because Satan masquerades as angel of light. And open borders, is the only way to show compassion. It's a lie. Lie of the enemy. A couple of emails that relate to this, and this comes from Greg in Texas. Dear Todd, thank you for all the gospel truth and fellowship-driven conversations you have on the air of your show. I adore the dynamic of how you address our nation and everything that's going on in it biblically, and although sometimes it can be a smidge charismatic, there's no way that no way overshadows how poetic and convicted you truly sound. I'm only writing in regard to the gentleman from Tennessee who was also named Greg that you criticized very lightly. Oh, that criticized you very lightly, I'll say, for discussing the use of pornography over public radio. I would just say that it isn't sometimes uncomfortable to discuss the truth. It's always uncomfortable to discuss the truth. And if anybody is exacting the proper theme from the Word of God, considering how sinful we are, it is that we are to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And in the broadest sense, that is really what we're shedding light on, is our sins. Bringing everything into the light makes it so much easier for us to live conscious that our Lord is watching, since God is light. And we must conduct ourselves in a way that just might be pleasing to Him, being as hopeful as possible. Once again, I absolutely love your show, and I very much commend you for being bold enough to even go anywhere near the topic of pornography out in the open, since it's a very dominant fact that it's everywhere and that every kid is seeing it, especially in our age. Again, sir, thank you. Greg from Texas. Greg, I appreciate you writing in. And Greg was referencing a conversation we had in the program where I talked about my mother who found pornographic magazines in my bedroom when I was a young boy. Well, I guess, Eric left in ninth grade. and she set them out on the kitchen table, and I came home and there they were. Oh my gosh. Oh, it was so embarrassing. And she made me sit down and look through them with her. And she asked me some very wise questions, such as, do you think these women enjoy doing this? Do you think this is how sex really is? And I was ashamed. And no, of course, that's not how sex really is. And no, I don't think women enjoy doing that. And then she did the most amazing thing is she closed the magazines and said, you can have them back. They're yours. And I burned them. We, the men of the Christian church, need to be able to talk about all forms of temptation. We need to talk about the temptation to have emotional affairs. We need to talk about the temptation to let our eyes wander. For me, I'm far more given to the emotional stuff. I don't find physical beauty that interesting. I mean, I worked in Hollywood for a long time. I've seen a lot of physical beauty. Maybe I become jaded to it. We need to talk about the temptation a lot of men still have with pornography. I was so proud of a brother in a group a couple months ago. I said, man, I relapsed. I used porn. Guy in his 40s. If we don't speak openly about this, the young men in church will believe that they're alone. Same-sex attracted people will hear us men in the Christian church talk about same-sex attractions as sin, and they'll get to internalize as the enemy says to them, oh, hypocrites, you know some of those men have cheated on their wives. They're probably doing it now. You know some of them are eyeing young girls. And same-sex attracted people could go, yeah, they're hypocrites. Not so if we admit the struggles. We need to speak openly and respectfully, and knowing full well that there can be families listening, which is I always try to give a warning. This is from Steve. Email. You can email me. By the way, the easiest way to do it, it gets straight to me, is go to thetoddhermanshow.com, thetoddhermanshow.com, and it comes straight to me. Steve writes, hi, brother. My name is Steve, and I'm an avid listener to your show on AFR. Just wanted to encourage you and let you know that we believe the same thing about you yourself being the only one who can snatch yourself out of Christ's hands. We've been taught for so long that you can't lose your salvation, and frankly, in my opinion, that creates weak Christians. Much like it was a choice for each of us to repent, believe, and follow Christ, we also have the choice to decide to not follow him. The Bible speaks multiple times about believers or those in faith choosing to walk away from their faith or fall away from their faith. I find it extremely hard to believe that Jesus would drag someone into heaven who used to believe in him but now denies him as the only way. After all, Jesus said if we deny him, he will deny us. This is why we're told to continue to pray for boldness, courage, wisdom, and understanding so he will stand for the truth and finish the race that God has put in front of us to run for his glory. Keep it up, brother. Keep speaking the truth. How we interpret and understand God's word matters. It shapes our beliefs, helps us understand God's character, which ultimately helps us understand more about who our amazing, wonderful, merciful, and gracious God is, and we get the privilege of serving. God bless in Christ, Steve in Texas. Appreciate the note of encouragement, Steve, and I'm quite aware that this is a very controversial topic in Christian circles. I am quite aware of that. I look at some gospel. I look at some scripture, and I know that people have scripture that supports once saved, always saved. I know that. These are particularly persuasive for me in terms of being able to choose to turn away from Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 27. If we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Wow, we can resist the Holy Spirit. I think we know that, right? It's apparently possible to quench or put out the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, we are warned. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. Do not harden your hearts. Now, you could say, and I've heard people say, that once saved, always saved means that you have to have been truly saved. If you've been truly saved, then you can't turn from God. And I have to wonder about that given life experience, because I've seen people who used to serve the Lord turn fully from him. Sadly, the pastor who married my wife and I went through a time of discovery. And his time of discovery began with in search of environmentalism and then social justice. And then he learned that it was very fulfilling to bring about social justice on earth. And he departed the church and he moved down to Oregon and he began a role as a professor of philosophy. And he has since left the church and he teaches that there is no truth. It's a postmodernist lie that he now believes and teaches. I have real trouble believing, as sad as it makes me, that the Lord will drag him across the finish line into heaven, as he would look in the Lord's face and say, there is no truth. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Hey, thank you. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View and all the programs on American Family Radio. When I was in Mississippi, I got the occasion to have the network on all day as I drove about, and what a gift. Top of the hour news is good news. I mean, it's a gospel-centered network, but it's well-done news. It's centered. It's balanced. We know, of course, here we have an audience of one. That's God. We seek his approval. No offense. I think we all seek his approval, hopefully not the approval of man. It's a family of many. Being listener-supported changes the dynamic in a way. Very, very mindful of that, that I want to always pause and say, without you, there is no us in this position. And I don't contend to speak for my colleagues. I just know something about radio people. We love this. We love this, and I think God called us to do it. So just, I think probably on behalf of everybody, I think I can venture to say that. Thank you for being a monthly donor, which is, by the way, tax deductible at AFR.net. We'll get to the Tower Babbling here in a second. It's kind of a lean into this. We talked about this a little bit last week, but it's a setup for something else. The New York Times had written in the August paper of record, Trump's false claims about federal response to Hurricane Helene. The former president falsely accused the Biden administration of spending disaster funding on migrants, neglecting areas that had voted for Republicans, and ignoring a call from a Republican governor. So, number one, they're lying. FEMA did allow their mission to be changed to fly migrants around the country, illegal immigrants. So New York Times is lying there. They're cleverly lying, but they're lying. What they're saying is that they're spending disaster relief funds. No, they're not spending disaster relief funds. Those are separate funds. Silly, silly lie. That's like saying to someone, oh, I didn't drink your water from your cup. That part was mine. Then there's this. The New York Times later says FEMA fires employees for telling Milton relief workers to skip houses with Trump signs. Wait, I thought President Trump falsely claimed that. He was right. Now, that woman, by the way, has subsequently come out and said, oh, that wasn't my idea. That came from the top. Because it's her contention that FEMA had said we're getting a lot of abuse from people with Trump signs in their yard, so don't go to their houses. Well, maybe. So you stop going to anybody's house with a Trump sign because all Trump supporters? I fail to believe that all Trump supporters were abusive of FEMA when they showed up to help. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd like to see the proof of that. Oh, incidentally, I said this is building up to something. A federal court has backed James O'Keefe from Project Veritas in his lawsuits against CNN. And in fact, Judge Ed Carnes in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals called out CNN for, quote, downplaying the importance of telling the truth in its broadcasts. I mean, this is pretty remarkable. This is from newsbusters.org. In the opening paragraph of his concurring opinion, Judge Carnes seemed disgusted with CNN and ruling that the case should proceed. If you stand the bench long enough, you see a lot of things. Still, I never thought I'd see a major news organization downplaying the importance of telling the truth in its broadcasts. But that is what CNN has done in this case. Through its lawyers, CNN has urged this court to adopt the position that under the law, it is no worse for a news organization to spread or promote misinformation than it is to truthfully discuss a person's address in a broadcast. There may well be earthly justice for some of the lies of the Mockingbird media. Now, I bring this all up because I want to circle back to FEMA. The New York Times had said that President Trump was lying, that FEMA was denying aid to people who had Trump signs. Turns out that was exactly the case. That's exactly what they were doing. Well, this is from the field in FEMA response zones, and it has to do with people and their kids.
Awful what they're doing.
What are they doing with their kids?
They're taking the kids if they don't have places to go. Like, if they don't have a camper or, like, something to go in.
Right.
They can't, and they're closed.
CPS is coming to take them.
They're taking, yes, that's what they're doing.
Even if they're living with neighbors and their parents, they're coming to take them.
I know. If they're in that shelter and they don't have a safe place to go when they leave that shelter, they will take them. And we have DSS lady on our team, and she confirmed it. We went to the place today, the shelter. They confirmed it.
Now, you can say, well, but the kids don't have a safe place. I don't consider my kids being in custody of the government a safe place. Sorry. I'm sorry. But when the federal government is in the business of transing kids, and teaching boys that they're girls and girls that they're boys, I'm sorry, I don't feel that safe. When the second in command of Health and Human Services is a man named Rachel Levin, who pretends to be a woman and who is obsessed with using his power to trans street kids, I'm sorry, I don't consider that to be a safe place for my kids. Now, if you would like Trump supporters to be fearful or perhaps aggressive of or to FEMA employees, do that. Take kids. How about this? Your employees are staying somewhere in FEMA trailers or tents or hotels outside the area. How about offering housing to the families instead of taking the kids? After all, we're told that the Biden administration detests separating families at the border. But then again, that's with the newcomers, the special people, illegal immigrants. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with her feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouty questions. I understand, John. I understand. I've dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
3 sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. Almost always 3. Morning Joe. Joe Scarborough. Man, did you know he's a Republican? Joe Scarborough was talking about prior to the election, prior to President Trump winning, he had a warning for the American people, a severe and serious warning.
If historians in the future are allowed to write books, and by the way, that question is open this morning, and if people are allowed to go on television and say what they think, in the future, which, again, that question is open this morning. In the future, historians are going to look back on this day and say, this is the day that America made a choice between freedom and democracy on one side and authoritarianism and dictatorship on the
Michael?
Other.
Hey, Michael.
By the way, I misidentified that. That was Michael Beachloss talking on Joe Scarborough's program, Morning Joe. So if we're keeping track, an administration that worked in tandem with social media companies to censor Americans who backed the firing of doctors for disagreeing with Tony Fauci, the most vile violator of human sanctity in the history of, well, my lifetime. That same organization that was seeking to destroy Twitter, that was what their foreign advisors who helped with turnout during this election had said that Kamala Harris should do as president is destroy Elon Musk's Twitter. It was President Trump who's seeking to not let you publish books. Now, mind you, Amazon.com has been disappearing books, such as When Harry Became Sally was disappeared, a very compassionate book written early on about the lies of transgenderism. There are publishers stealth editing ebooks to trans characters, etc. But yes, it's Trump that's the big danger. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, the people at CBS News have figured out what happened in the election. It wasn't that Kamala Harris is a uniquely unlikable, empty human being who has no guiding principle other than, will it give me more power? They figured out what really happened.
Assess that Russia favored Donald Trump in this election, that Russia interfered in a fairly dramatic and visible fashion with these fake videos. What consequence are they going to pay, if any, for doing that?
Russia was supposedly caught putting some videos up that were faked, that were people tearing up Trump ballots. That shifted the election. But not Kamala Harris refusing to go on Joe Rogan's show or her being uniquely difficult to like. Okay. Last up in today's Tower Babbling is a look back at Paul Ryan, who at the height of his intellectual prowess and youth failed to defeat Joe Biden in a debate because Biden giggled at him. Paul Ryan was unable to respond intelligently, but he did give us a prediction.
No, I'm not a Trump fan. I want to win. And if we nominate Trump, we're going to lose. He hasn't won anything since 2016. Mm-hmm. We lost the House in 18. We lost the presidency in 20. We've lost the Senate. We would have won the Senate this time in 22 had it not been for Trump and his nominees in some of our key primary elections.
Okay. Got it, Paul. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you. Now, please go back to serving on corporate boards. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is. Yes.
On a Disciple's View.
Personal note today, response to an email, and I sometimes I'm inspired. I realize it's been a while since I've responded to emails, and this comes from Cheryl, spelled Scharreyl in Pennsylvania. Please give us a city. I really like to know what cities. Cheryl writes, "Dear Todd, would you please mind telling me when you figured out you were destined to speak for a living? I'm really curious about this because my young son is very capricious and likes to entertain, and I wonder if he's been called for something similar. Love your program. I'll become a subscriber to your podcast. I pay for your videos, watch you on YouTube, and I learned about you on AFR. Cheryl." Thank you, Cheryl, for the notes. By the way, my YouTube channel is free. You don't have to pay for that. It's youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. And when you go there, will you leave a comment? Just let me know you're coming over from AFR. I'm really encouraged by how many people are doing that. That's youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. Cheryl, when did I figure out that I was destined to talk for a living. When destined to, no one's ever asked me that way before. Okay. I figured out that God had, I didn't recognize it as God at the time. I want to be honest. When I was a senior in high school, a lot of people who were running for class office came to me and asked me for my endorsement. Would I give an endorsement speech for them? And one of those people was a young woman named Tawny, who I had a crush on, but I was not LDS, so I couldn't date her. And thought maybe that would help. So I gave a speech for her and some other people, and I realized, wow, this is silly. I'm endorsing people. I could probably be class president, but why didn't I? I didn't want the meetings. Was that it? I know that I jokingly put down in my high school yearbook that I wanted to be a dictator of a third world country. A talk show host, a captain of industry, and a dictator of a third world country. And what I was really saying without saying it was I wanted to be in media. I wanted to be in government, and I wanted to work in business. And God let me do all those things. But when was I destined? I don't know that I ever made that determination. I honestly don't know that I ever said, wow, I'm destined to do this. I still don't know that I'm destined to do it. I mean, I'm doing it. Therefore, God has decided it will be done. But maybe I misheard him. When did I figure out it was effective? Well, I think the first time a man wept after I gave a speech and said, your program has brought me back to God. I think that's the first time it really hit me. And praise God, I had the presence of mind to say, no, brother, that was God that did that, not the program. Thanks for the note, Cheryl. Appreciate you listening to the show and subscribing. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations until He gives us permission to speak again together. May God's peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This is Ben of Disciples View.